a story, Mahabharata, continuation of the previous one. Now, it's even more interesting. Time comes in there and talks, saying how the Pandavas, in spite of treachery, they accepted exile, the Pandavas, because they were true to their word. They went through all these hardships, although they were completely unfairly treated. So they lost, so they accepted defeat, time says. But Duryodhana was fed by hatred. So how could he be content? He went on humiliating the Pandavas. So yeah, this kind of ties in with what we just spoke about, doesn't it? The Pandavas are not consumed by hate or envy or anything like that. Therefore, they are peaceful, undisturbed, happy. They can be happy living in the forest or something like that. They just adapted to their new situation, seeing it's at God's arrangement. But Duryodhana, he was consumed by his envy and anger and walked around, thought about that all the time, about his enemies, the Pandavas. The enemy, the evil, the bad ones. And we switch over here to the modern leaders walking around that thinking themselves very big and great and whatever, superior. And this other demon, Hitler, whatever, I mean, there's always one, and they switch them as they, you know, need. And they are always consumed by this anger and envy, and the other ones, well, they're just doing their job and they're kind of on their side. You don't hear much from them. You don't see them standing, screaming and making all this propaganda that the other side is evil and should be killed. So we show this thing there, how the play between different sides of the world, even today, it's more complicated than just the we the good and they the bad. Because whatever place and country you happen to live in, you are of course taught, and today more effectively than any time in history, that you are the good ones. And you should send your sons and daughters out to get killed to defend you, the good ones, and kill the bad ones. So we can just connect this, and that's the idea with this whole Mahabharata thing.